This is a pubcast in the style created by Hannah L. Harrison and Philip A. Loring. Pubcasts are quick, abridged read-throughs of scholarly articles. I'm Tim Alamainchuk, a postdoctoral fellow at Carleton University and research fellow at the Dragon Lab at St. Jerome's University. This is quick and dirty, which means you won't hear any fancy music or edits, just the paper itself and some paraphrasing. You also won't hear any references, but they are all available in the publication if you're curious. Today I'm going to read a paper that was published in Restoration Ecology on April 19th, 2024, titled Motivations for Volunteers to Participate in Ecological Restoration, a Systematic Map. This paper was co-authored by myself and Stephen Murphy from the University of Waterloo. The full publication is available on Restoration Ecology's website as an open access publication. A note before we begin, everything I say in this podcast is covered by a CC0 license, which means I put it fully in the public domain. I believe that knowledge should be freely available to people, and public domain licensing is the best way to do this. That means you are free to remix, reuse, republish, or otherwise reconstitute this work without any permission or credit. It's nice to be credited for my ideas, but getting them out there is far more important. I do this work for the betterment of people and our environment. Let's start with the abstract. Volunteering is a central means by which communities become engaged in ecological restoration projects, and understanding what motivates volunteers is a core preoccupation of researchers because it may help recruit more people. This study addresses the question, what are the motivations and barriers to participation in ecological restoration projects? The systematic literature map method was used to study this question. The results revealed a typology of motivations that consists of 15 categories. A co-occurrence network analysis of those categories revealed 5 core motivations that co-occur most in the literature. Those are having a positive environmental impact, acquiring and sharing knowledge, caring for the environment, social interactions and community, human health, and well-being. Barriers to volunteering and the demographics of volunteers were also mapped as they appeared frequently alongside motivations. The 5 core motivations represent a set of widely studied and well-understood motivations which can inform the design of volunteer programs. The literature, indexed by the systematic map, can form the basis of further systematic reviews and meta-analyses. This study highlights 3 major areas for future research: extrinsic motivations, the demographics of volunteers who participate in ecological restoration, and project organization as a motivation. As part of this article, I discovered a few implications for practice. The first is, volunteer motivation can be understood to be either intrinsic or extrinsic and fits into 4 broad categories: environmental, personal growth, obligation, and enjoyment. Within that typology, 14 individual motivational categories are widely studied in the literature and can be used to inform volunteer program design. Research into volunteer motivation in ecological restoration can utilize this typology to frame and study specific motivating factors. Project organization is an important motivator for continued involvement, but falls outside of the motivational typology. Further research is needed to uncover the dynamics and role of project organization in volunteer engagement. We'll move on to the introduction now. Increased participation in ecological restoration by community members can generate interest in and acceptance of restoration, which is needed to increase the scale of restoration work and ensure positive outcomes. By understanding the motivations of participants, restoration practitioners can conduct restoration that engages the community. Opportunities to participate in restoration can involve communities in the planning and implementation of restoration, increasing engagement with the project and fulfilling one of 4 principles proposed to guide the practice. And here I'll mention a really good reference at Suiting et al. 2015, which contains four principles for restoration practice. While it is important to pay staff adequately and support restoration professionals, widespread volunteer participation in ecological restoration alongside paid professionals can offset costs. There is a need to increase community engagement to support upscaling the practice of ecological restoration, to confront the scope of biodiversity loss, and meet the ambitious goals of the United Nations Decade on Ecosystem Restoration. Community engagement is important to restoration success, and including local communities in restoration projects can prevent projects from proceeding based on untested assumptions about the local community, a factor which can lead to the failure of restoration projects. While there have been some syntheses of biophysical restoration practices, there has not yet been a synthesis of the multiple studies which investigate motivation to participate in ecological restoration, despite calls to better understand the social dimensions of restoration. Practitioners are encouraged to maximize engagement, and a map of the peer-reviewed knowledge on the motivations that lead people to participate can help achieve that goal. Motivation is studied in the broader volunteering literature by analyzing the psychological functions served by volunteer activities. This approach is consistent with the psychological perspective on volunteering, which focuses on what moves individuals to participate. However, the sociological approach characterizes volunteering as a community activity, which demands examination of both inward and outward-facing motivations. Volunteering appeals to both intrinsic and extrinsic motivations. Participants have some intrinsic motivation to contribute to a public good, but also seek something for themselves, often education or experience. This means that a person may volunteer both out of a desire to do good and for personal advancement. Barriers are often studied alongside motivations, as what prevents people from volunteering may be related to what enables it. While broad categories of motivation have been outlined in the Volunteer Functions Inventory, also known as VFI, including values, understanding, enhancement, career, social, and protective functions, motivation itself is activity specific. In the case of ecological restoration, motivations studied in the literature vary widely, which presents a challenge for practitioners looking to improve their work. In order for practitioners to make good use of the information, some synthesis is required. This review addresses the following research questions. What are the motivations for volunteers to participate in ecological restoration, and how are they interconnected? What are the barriers that prevent volunteers from participating in ecological restoration? And what are the demographics, for example, age, gender, ethnicity, income, of volunteer populations studied in the literature? We'll now move on to a description of the methods. I will abridge this for the purposes of this recording. We did a systematic literature search using a search string that was developed in collaboration with the UW Library. The goal was to capture a wide selection of the literature, and those results were individually screened to determine whether or not they were appropriate. We used some rigorous inclusion criteria, namely the study had to be gathering primary data, so conducting a survey or interviews about volunteer motivation in restoration or conservation projects. The outcome of this search and screening, we gathered 2,000 records. I screened each of those individually, and we ended up including 84 records. These are peer-reviewed publications or theses that document motivation to volunteer in ecological restoration or conservation. This is all detailed in the article that was published in Restoration Ecology. We then used qualitative coding approach to code the motivations that were described in the articles. We also coded the demographics and the barriers, which allowed for them to be more easily extracted. We'll move forward to the results. The records contain studies that were quantitative, qualitative, and mixed methods. There were 39 quantitative studies, 20 qualitative studies, and 25 mixed method studies. Again, I'm going to abridge some of the results because there are a lot of numbers through this section. You can find the full results in the article. The most common lead author affiliation was the United States, which had 31 papers with a lead author based in the United States, followed by the United Kingdom, 13, Australia, 11, and Canada, 7. The studies commonly used surveys. There were 61 out of the 84 that used surveys or interviews, 42 out of 84, or both, 22 out of 84, to study volunteer motivation. There were also studies that used focus groups, participant observation, and document analysis. The most common motivation was captured by the code group having a positive environmental impact. 61 out of 84 papers documented this motivation. This code group referred to motivations, was applied to papers that referred to volunteers being motivated by having a visible impact, such as making a contribution to conservation or science, or physically altering the environment. This code group applied when volunteers were motivated by the outcome of their work rather than describing a feeling. For example, volunteers cutting invasive tree mallow in Scotland reported satisfaction from the act of removing the plants. In comparison, the motivation group care for the environment was used when papers referred to pro-environmental values in the motivation of volunteers, but not necessarily the outcome of their actions, and this came up in 58 papers. Motivations in this category often took the form of personal values or community norms. For instance, volunteers in Japan who felt caring for the green space was the responsibility of the community were more likely to volunteer. While the two categories are clearly related, having a positive environmental impact emphasizes the motivational potential of an immediate impact, such as those provided by engaging in ecological work, while caring for the environment is more diffuse. Other motivations that appeared through the study were acquiring and sharing knowledge. That was in 58 out of the 84 studies. Social interactions and community, personal health and well-being, as well as just being outside and engaging the activity. We also studied the barriers to volunteering. They were reported by some, but not all, papers that were a part of this review. The main barrier that was reported was lack of time and energy. That was for 19 papers out of the 84. Other papers cited the difficult nature of restoration work as a barrier, 15 out of 84. And some found that the lack of awareness of opportunity was a barrier to volunteering, 11 out of 84. We also extracted which demographics were studied by the papers. This included age, 53 out of 84, gender, 52 out of 84, and economic status, 42 out of 84. There were also papers that asked questions and tracked race of participants, whether they were from a rural area or urban, their nationality, and how long participants lived in a place. The research mapped the literature on volunteer motivation. Sorry, we'll move on to the discussion now. This research mapped the literature on volunteer motivation to answer the following questions. What are the motivations for volunteers to participate in ecological restoration? And how are they interconnected? And what are the barriers that prevent volunteers from participating in restoration? And what are the demographics of volunteers studied in the literature? We found that the literature focuses on five core motivations that are both commonly studied and highly interrelated. And you can refer to Figure 1 for an illustration of this if you're able to read the actual paper. Having a positive environmental impact, acquiring and sharing knowledge, care for the environment, social interactions and community, and health and well-being. There were 10 motivations less commonly studied and less interrelated. And six barriers emerged from the map: lack of time and energy, difficult and costly work, unaware of volunteer opportunity, difficulty reaching site, poor management, and implicit or explicit exclusion. I'm going to move on now to talk about the typology. The 15 motivations documented by this systematic map form a typology of volunteer motivation for ecological restoration and conservation work. The typology contains motivations in four broad groups: environmental, personal growth, obligation, and enjoyment. Environmental motivations include place-based motivations, spending time in nature, having a positive environmental impact, caring for the environment, and attachment to a species or organism. These motivations are connected to the environmental nature of the work of restoration and conservation volunteering, while personal growth motivations may be satisfied by non-environmental volunteering. This distinction can be further broken down into intrinsic motivations. For example, the volunteer is rewarded by an internal positive feeling, and extrinsic motivations, where the volunteer is rewarded by the external world, like receiving an award. Typologies such as the one proposed in this paper can be valuable analytical tools in the social sciences, which can enable conceptual creativity and analytical rigor. Two-dimensional typologies, like the one described in Table 5 of this paper, provide 8 unique combinations that can be further explored using the individual motivations. While the intrinsic-extrinsic dichotomy has been criticized for being too simplistic, the addition of the categories of environmental, personal growth, obligation, and enjoyment motivations creates a matrix which deepens the description here. Many of the motivations revealed by this map are served directly by the activities typically involved in ecological restoration. For example, removing invasive species has a visible positive environmental impact and can be an outlet for care for the environment. It involves acquiring and sharing knowledge, and it's physical work that contributes to health and well-being. Some, particularly those described as extrinsic motivation, require facilitation to implement. For instance, program managers must decide to offer special places for volunteers or to give out awards. 5 motivations form a set for which there is abundant evidence in the literature, and we've already described these. The interconnectedness of all motivations was analyzed by constructing a co-occurrence matrix and conducting a network analysis on the code categories. Co-occurrence means that these motivations are often studied together, which may signal that they are connected in some way or can be served by one activity. A set of barriers was also uncovered, which includes 6 categories of barriers: difficult and costly work, unaware of volunteer opportunity, difficulty reaching site, poor management, implicit or explicit exclusion. Barriers are things that prevent people from volunteering, and as such can be difficult to study since those who experience the greatest barriers are unlikely to volunteer. Barriers are often case-specific and may be imposed by project leaders. For example, a study of local populations in 6 communities in southern Mexico reported that some people felt excluded because of a lack of education, and some sectors were deliberately excluded from participation by project managers. 3 of the reported barriers, lack of time and energy, difficult and costly work, difficulty reaching site, are likely to be present in restoration and conservation projects, regardless of the quality of management. The work is often physical and may require an investment of tools or time, and sites may be distant from urban centers. The broader volunteer engagement literature revealed 3 common barriers based on data from a national survey: lack of time, lack of interest, and ill health. While this systematic map did not uncover ill health as a barrier, it is clear that someone's personal health and capabilities would have some bearing on whether the work and difficulty reaching the site are major barriers to participation. One approach to studying barriers captured by our systematic map interviewed people who participated in naturalist training programs but did not progress to volunteering. Interviewees said the primary barrier was a lack of time. Future research into barriers may require novel methods to survey or interview people who have not volunteered. There were 8 demographic categories commonly studied in the paper, and these have already been outlined. 71.4% of the papers included discussed demographics in some way. Where the race of volunteers was surveyed and reported on, volunteers tended to be mainly white. One paper surveyed 3,041 citizen science volunteers across the United States and found that 97% self-identified as white. Gender was among the more frequently reported categories of demographics, and it may be possible to do a meta-analysis of the gender of volunteers in the future study. There were papers where the majority of volunteers were women, and there were papers where the majority of volunteers were men. While some papers reported higher incomes among their volunteers, Others reported a wide spread of incomes, or even lower incomes, than the general population. These findings suggest a future direction for research which could examine the demographics of volunteers and barriers preventing unrepresented populations from participating in ecological restoration activities. Directions for future research. While the systematic map can provide an overview of the findings in terms of motivation, it should not be taken as a commentary on which motivations are most significant. Volunteers almost never have a singular motivation, but rather are acting on multiple motivations simultaneously. A systematic map is not designed to provide such a synthesis, but instead to catalog the available evidence and point the way for future research. The findings of this systematic map also matched up with the volunteer functions inventory, which postulates that motivations to volunteers serve six psychological functions: values, understanding, social, career, protective, and enhancement. A meta-analysis of studies that use the volunteer functions inventory may yield a clearer picture of the prevalence of motivations among environmental volunteers. One motivation did not fit into the typology: project organization. Project organization is important because it has been identified as a key component of volunteer commitment to projects. Volunteers who experience this motivation report that they like to be a part of a program that uses their time well. Established projects that have experienced leadership and well-developed goals can serve this motivation. Contrary to this background and our expectations, project organization only appeared in 8 studies, despite being highlighted as a key component for volunteer commitment. The lack of representation of studies that look at project organization as a motivation suggests that future research into volunteer motivation should closely consider project organization. While some papers surfaced a general understanding of project organization, there is an opportunity to explore in detail how this is connected to volunteer engagement. In conclusion, motivation is a key area of knowledge to enable the upscaling of restoration through participation. A deeper understanding of the motivations that drive volunteers can help practitioners understand how to attract and retain volunteers for restoration projects. This systematic map documented a typology of 15 motivations for participating in ecological restoration and highlighted 5 among those that co-occur most frequently. This provides an answer to the question of what motivates volunteers to participate. By embracing the typology when developing, marketing, and executing volunteer restoration projects, practitioners can enhance the engagement of volunteers in those projects. I'd like to thank my PhD committee, Andrew Trant, Eric Higgs, and Sean Giobbe for comments on this manuscript. That concludes the quick and dirty reading portion. I'd like to take this time to make a few synthetic or contextual remarks on the paper if you're interested in continuing to listen. The core of this paper is Table 5, the typology of environmental volunteer motivations. This typology can be deployed by field practitioners or other researchers. It is a neat and tidy way to ensure that you are thinking about the diverse and various motivations that volunteers may be coming into a project with. You might, for example, be writing a project description to try to recruit volunteers, and this typology could be useful in making sure that your project description speaks to all of the motivations that have been studied. For example, a motivation that was surprising to me was access to special places, and this is categorized as an extrinsic enjoyment-based motivation in the typology. So people want to get something that they enjoy, and this came up in studies often about fishers, fisher people who were participating in restoration or conservation projects like that they get to access hidden lakes and areas that others don't necessarily go to. This is not a very commonly acknowledged motivation, I think. And by using the typology, practitioners and researchers can get a sense of the breadth of motivation. There are some significant gaps in the literature. Volunteering itself is well studied as a North American phenomenon. There's very little research into volunteering in the Southern Hemisphere or into countries that may not be at the socioeconomic level of North American countries. And volunteering may very well work differently there. We may instead be talking about lifestyle practices or land-based practices. There may or may not be time to volunteer and to engage in this, and the organization might look different. So there's a lot of work still to be done in that area, and it's something that I'm very much interested in continuing to work on and study. So thank you once again for listening to this podcast. My goal is to make all of my papers available as podcasts as I go along. This seems to be a very useful and accessible format. My email address is tim.a@uwaterloo.ca. I am happy to chat or collaborate or work on anything together. Thank you again.